Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 12th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital for the latest edition of Pets and Vets. If you have a question about your dog, cat, or other pet within reason, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Email us if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. Your call's coming up right after the news. Oh, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets show today, and here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York, a USDA Category 1 accredited veterinarian. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998 already. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us if you want at voxpop@wamc.org. If you are emailing, remember, we can't do follow-up questions, so provide as much information as you can on your pet, including their age and sex, and we'll try to answer your questions. The number, once again, is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, welcome back.
Well, hello there.
You've been bumped a bunch of times.
I know. The darn impeachment hearing kept getting in the way.
Well, nice to have you finally here.
Yes.
Looks like no breaking news will interrupt us. Knock wood. There
yes.
We go. What's new?
So, well, first of all, I want to congratulate the station on a two-hour fun drive. That was amazing. I should have been answering phones this morning.
Usually you are during the fun drive.
Yeah, but I had the morning off. It was great.
Good for you.
And I'm sure you guys are all glad about that.
Pretty much.
Yes.
So, you had mentioned ticks.
Yes. So
it's counterintuitive. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, it's winter. Don't
right,
worry about it.
Exactly. And I've had several clients in lately who have, you know, asked me, should they be still using flea and tick prevention? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the fleas pretty much are dead this time of year, but ticks just go into hiding. And on a day like today, there will be ticks out. We've had a bunch of dogs in recently with ticks on them. I had one dog that got rather sick with tick disease, presumably because the owners stopped for 2 months thinking it was too cold.
Yeah.
So, yes, definitely you want to do year-round.
And so, you know, depending on what your situation, the collar is good or
yep, or there's
topical.
Orals, there's topicals, there's a lot of good products out there. A word of warning, we have been seeing counterfeit products. So you
what?
Do have to be careful where you buy your products.
Where would you mean online?
Online. There are some online pharmacies that are not certified. They're not, you know, 100%. So, you know.
How can you tell when you have a counterfeit product?
Well, it's hard. You know, we just get people that saying it's the collar's not working. Well, you know, if it's new, it should be working. We had a salesperson come in several months ago who had been up north at a vet's office that she visits, and the owner had a stack of the Seresto collars on his desk that were all bought online, and all of them looked different. All of the boxes looked slightly
gosh.
Different.
So, does Seresto know about this?
Probably, yeah. It's hard to beat, though. But if it's, you know, if the price is too good to believe, it probably is too good to believe.
Now, full disclosure, before we get to the emails and the phones, I spilled an entire travel mug full of coffee before the show, including on my glasses. So if right now you have that sort of
remember
those old Barbara Walters interviews where she was soft, focused?
I'm a little sepia toned.
You're looking very youthful today, even more than usual. All right, this email came in from Allie. We are fostering a 2-year-old female cat who was not treated very well and was living in a deli as a mouse catcher. She is slowly becoming acclimated to our house, but seems to want to constantly chew or eat plastic. She eats plastic bags, tape, food wrappers. Any suggestions on what we can do to make her stop? We try to spray her when we catch her in the act.
Well, unfortunately, this probably has absolutely nothing to do with her background.
Yeah.
Some cats just seem to have a fetish for plastic.
And why is that?
I don't know.
Have you ever had a cat that had that?
I have never. I have never. But I've known a certain number of people who have. They love to chew on plastic bags and plastic packaging. It's a tough one to break. It just seems to be something about the plastic they love. I mean, you can try things like spraying plastic bags with vinegar or lemon juice and leave them around so they get a bad taste. Yeah. And maybe they decide they don't, you know, won't like it so much. But yeah, it's a tough one. Just try and make them unavailable the best you can.
I mean, also, you could probably bring a couple of live mice and let them go loose in your house. And then the cat would be...
Exactly. You know. But no, I think it's just she probably liked plastic bags when she was living in the deli.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
It just is a thing.
Well, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. And we start out in Berkshire County. Ryan, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a 3-year-old male polydactyl Hemingway cat. It's a mackerel tabby. I have spoken to many people, including our vet, and then looked up on Google multiple times about if there's like any special thing I should be, you know, attentive to, or like a nutritional, like dietary thing that I should take into consideration with him. And I just wanted to know your opinion.
Are you concerned about him being a multi-toed cat, extra-toed cat?
No. The what he gives us for character and stuff and visually, we love it, but it just is, you know, I know it's like a genetic mutation, or I've been led to believe it's a genetic mutation. So I just didn't know if there was something we should be aware of, you know, maybe of a disease we should be, you know, a symptom we should be looking for, or if it's just, it is what it is. He's just a great looking dude and we should just deal with it.
Yeah, no, the polydactyl or multi-toed cats are, they actually, my understanding is they came over from Britain and first landed in Boston. So the Northeast has the highest numbers of them.
How many toes do cats usually have?
Normally on the front they have 5, just like us.
Yeah.
They have, you know, the 4 fingers and then a little thumb. And the polydactyl cats tend to have extra toes between their thumb and their first finger.
Oh.
And they can have 1, they can have 2. They often will have extra toes on the back as well. Normally they only have 4 on the back, and they'll have 5 or 6. The back feet are not normally a problem. The front feet, because they're in between that thumb and the first digit, those toes don't often touch the ground. And so the toenails can actually grow around in a circle. So the only extra care really with a polydactyl cat is to make sure that the toenails are kept trimmed, especially the extra ones.
Right.
And other than that, he's a male cat, so you have to be a little careful with diet as far as fluids, because male cats are more prone to getting bladder issues and can potentially obstruct because of their male anatomy.
Okay.
So, you know, keeping him on an all-can diet, those would be the only things, trimming his toenails and keeping him on an all-can diet.
All right, Ryan, thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Pets and Vets today with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, and Dennis is in Bethlehem. Dennis.
Hi, I have a 7-month-old male Maltese poodle mix, and we had planned on getting him neutered, I think around now is the time, and we're having second thoughts and wondering, we love him so much, we want to get another one, we want to have him make babies. So other than that, what are the pros and cons of neutering in general? Will it change his personality? Can we let him father a litter or two and then neuter him and stuff like that?
So this is a fairly recent issue in the veterinary community of when to neuter animals.
Yeah.
We always used to say 6 months for both males and females, big dogs, little dogs, it didn't matter. But now they're actually saying in some cases it's not a bad thing to wait to neuter them. Large breed dogs, because of certain orthopedic issues as well as cancer risks. Small breed dogs, less of the orthopedic issues, but it really is not detrimental to not neuter them, as long as you're going to be a responsible owner and not let them run around just making babies all over the place.
Yeah.
and then as he gets older, if you did decide not to neuter him, the concern are two things. One is testicular cancer, which we don't see that often, but we also don't have a large unneutered population in this area, and prostate disease. Mm. So just like in human men, as dogs age, their prostate can enlarge when they're not neutered and they have testosterone in their system, and it can start to cause some issues.
How about
that? It can be fixed by neutering them, so you can always neuter them at a later date. Also, if you decide to let him sire a litter, or two, then you could just neuter him anytime after that.
Okay.
And there's no behavioral downside to doing it that way?
Well, the only behavior I always tell people, it depends on if they're showing bad boy behavior.
Like, you know, marking their territory?
Well, lifting his leg in the house or, you know, showing any kind of aggressive tendencies that you think might be testosterone driven, then I definitely do recommend neutering them.
All right, Dennis, we have to take a break here. Dr. Kerry O'Loughlin is our guest. Pets and Vets today, 800-348-2551, the number, and we'll be right back. Fox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. It's 800-348-2551 if you have a question for Dr. Kerry O'Loughlin today on Pets and Vets. And Kerry, we have two emails here, and then we'll go right back to the phones. This one's from Holly. Holly says, one of my cats is obsessed with eating. He will run to his food dish when I walk into the room or anywhere close to the area I feed him. He then proceeds to gorge himself until the dish is empty. I don't underfeed him, but this guy always seems to think food is going out of style and he wants to eat it all quickly. Any thoughts?
Well, one would be if every time he goes into the room and goes to the dish, you put food in it, you're conditioning him that he's going to be fed.
He's training you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So one would be not always to give in to his demands and make him wait for mealtimes. And two, the other option would be to just give him little mini meals. Don't put a whole lot in the dish all at once. Put a couple of pieces or a little bit of canned food, whichever you're feeding in. If you are doing some dry food, the other option would be to get him a treat ball. And that's a little ball that you put the food in and they have to swat it around on the floor and the food kind of falls out randomly and they have to work to get
the food.
Well,
then you get food all over the house.
But they eat it. He sees the food come out. He's not going to just leave it there.
All right,
he's
you make
that
a point.
Food crazy. So.
So cats are pigs. They really are. And in my experience, I walk home in the door at whatever time in the afternoon. That cat is right there on the couch, jumps off, expects me immediately to jump to attention and feed her.
Yeah. And do you?
Yes.
See,
yes,
so
I do.
She has you well trained.
Fine. All right. This is from Dave. I wonder if you might give your thoughts regarding our 5-year-old St. Bernard. Over the past year, he has developed red stains on his paws, elbows, chin, severely on his face, mostly between his eyes and on his forehead. Our vet has seen him several times and taken skin scrapings but found nothing present. She prescribed chlorhexidine mousse, which has not helped, and we have tried several over-the-counter remedies to no avail. Any ideas? I've seen the paws that get red on some of these...
Yeah, if it's the fur itself and not the skin, it can be staining from the saliva.
Yeah.
And
but not between the eyes and the forehead, right?
Well, it could be tear staining on the face and saliva staining around the mouth.
But what about the forehead?
The forehead, unless he's rubbing his face
right.
on his paws and getting saliva on it, yeah. You know.
And dogs don't sweat up there, right?
No, they don't sweat. They don't sweat. They sweat on their paws only.
No.
So it's often saliva staining. Now, I've had some luck with saliva staining with using an antibiotic called Thylan powder.
What's it called?
It's called Thylan. It's Tylosin.
Oh.
And we often use it for dogs with GI, with digestive upset, colitis, things like that.
Yeah.
But it also seems to have an effect on the tear staining.
Huh.
So one possibility would try that. But
I mean, you
that,
could give the dog a haircut, right? And then
well, yeah, but if he's continuing to lick or do whatever to make the staining, it's just going to come right back.
All right, fair enough. The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Kerry O'Loughlin is our guest on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Anthony in Catskill is next. Anthony.
Yes, hi Ray and Dr. Kerry.
Hi.
Hello.
My wife and I just hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
My wife and I just both had strep throat. And we went through a course of amoxicillin. Everything was great. 4 days after that, my wife has strep throat again, and the urgent care physician said she thinks it's our two dogs who are likely the carriers. We spoke to two other vets. One said, yeah, probably. The other one said, never heard of that. Is it possible that our dogs are carriers of strep throat and giving it back to us?
You're the swing vote here, Kelly. So.
Well, I honestly, I would have to say it's unlikely. I mean, strep is everywhere. And yes, the dog could have strep on their skin or in their saliva or, you know, their, but boy, the chances of you getting it from the dog, unless you're immunocompromised, I just think it's unlikely.
And both of them too. Would be
right. I mean, I assume you're not sharing spit with your dog or things like that.
I just ate lunch.
I just don't know how easily it would be transmitted.
Okay. Yeah. The first doctor said she was pretty sure. She gave us several options. She said it could be the same one coming back. It could be this, could be that. But she said my money for her money was on the dog. So interesting.
Oh, it is. Well, let us know. Call us back if you survive, Anthony, and let us know how it worked out. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Stephen in Athens. Stephen, you're on.
Hey, thank you. This is more of a kind of humanitarian question than medical. I have an elderly aunt who's going into assisted living who has a cat, and she can't take her with her. I can't take her either. Unfortunately, where I live, I can't have a cat. She's sort of an abandoned or a cat that won't have a home. What do we do in a situation like that? Are there cat adoptions, or is there something else that we should be considering? It's a great cat, but we don't know what to do.
Well, that's what shelters are for one thing. There are a lot of adult cats in shelters, which thankfully now, because of a lot of them are going to places like PetSmart, are having better chances of getting adopted. There are also rescue groups around. There's Kitten Angels. There's I'm trying to think of any of the Kitten Angels is the only one coming to mind. I would start with your local shelter. Athens, I'm not sure if that would be Catskill.
It's in Greene County. Yeah.
So I would start there and certainly ask them if they know of any other cat rescue groups in the area that you could contact.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephen. We appreciate it.
Good luck.
800-348-2551, the telephone number. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here from Del Mar Animal Hospital. And Claudia is also in Del Mar. Hello, Claudia.
Hello. How are you?
Good. You're on.
Okay. We have two female cats, a mother and daughter. We don't know their ages. They were rescued some time ago, maybe 10 years old and 7 years old. And the younger cat is been going to the bathroom outside of the box, the kitty litter boxes. And there doesn't seem to be a medical problem with her, no UTI. We're trying all kinds of things, and I'm not really sure. She's a feisty cat, but affectionate. What do we do?
So I assume when you say there's no UTI, you've had her checked out?
Yes.
Okay. How many litter boxes do you have?
Two litter boxes. One big one, it's in one room, and then an adjacent room is another litter box. We've separated their food as well. They go back and forth wherever, but at least there's an opportunity to have them separate.
So they are not, the two cats are not getting along?
No, they tolerate each other, but the younger cat, she is a little more aggressive toward the older cat. They have nothing to do with each other, put it that way. But she'll try to posture her, don't come near me, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, couple of things they do recommend if you're having litter box issues to have one litter box per cat plus one. So that would mean adding a third litter box. And you don't want them right next to each other. Otherwise, that is just like one big litter box as far as the cats are concerned.
Right.
You want to make sure that they're kept pristinely clean. You know, scoop them every time you walk by them. So there's no chance that the one cat may have used it. The other cat doesn't want to use the box.
Right.
And then lastly would be trying products like Feel Away Spray, which is a pheromone that smells like the happy cat smell.
We have tried that. Huh. You know, we've sprayed till the areas, and but she's back to just peeing again. And doing number two occasionally. It's different. I didn't, you know, like odds and ends of little pieces that we're finding. Now, this is pretty much started up a couple of weeks ago. Gone away. Everything was fine. And I had a question about things like rescue remedy for cats or something for her anxiety.
Is it possible?
Like a very ancient cat.
Is it possible you changed your brand of kitty litter?
Right, that was going to be my next question.
It has been changed from, but not during this. You know, we had world's best kitty litter. What? I think we're using now. We've used the other name brand before.
Yeah, so you know, sometimes it's either a something about the box they don't like. It's, you know, the litter, the location. So one is getting a variety of litters and sort of making a couple of boxes and putting them near each other and letting her choose which one she's going to use. Or there's also the sort of, we call it litter 101, where you lock her in with a litter box and make sure that she will use that litter box before you start letting her have full roam of the house. And then lastly, there are some, you know, some cats will go on to anti-anxiety medications. And, you know, there are a number of different options out there. You could certainly talk to your veterinarian about, you know, which ones they recommend.
Sure. And yeah, I would only do something like herbal. I don't want to medicate. You know,
yeah. Right. Lastly. Yeah, lastly is you have to make sure you clean where the cat has been going out of the box extremely well. And there are several products out there that will break up the cat urine smell. There's one I've been using lately for my own cats called SCOE 10. It's Super Concentrated Odor Eliminator.
Yeah.
It's only available online, but it works great.
Okay.
So.
Called again?
SCOE 10. SCOE.
Okay.
All right. Claudia, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Ellen in Athol, Mass. Ellen, you're on.
Yes, hi. I'm calling about the plastic bag issue.
Yeah.
Cats licking plastic bags. We have a Siamese, and she was doing that a couple years ago and got really sick. I mean, her kidneys were failing. And so I did a little bit of research and found out that plastic bags, I don't know if all of them, but plastic bags can be sprayed with propylene glycol to prevent them from breaking down. And I'm thinking that's what she was attracted to. So
very
we
well,
never
maybe.
Leave plastic bags out.
Yep.
I wonder, though, could it have been that your kitty was licking the plastic bags as some sort of a bizarre symptom of having kidney issues, not the other way around?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I stopped using, you know, I stopped leaving plastic bags around, and she's fine.
Okay.
And she was, you know, she recovered, and she's well.
Okay. Yeah.
So I just take the precautionary route and never leave them out.
Well, that's good information to know. I didn't know about the propylene glycol, which actually is used.
Yeah, and I'm not sure which bags or if they're all bags or what, but it was enough to scare me into just keeping them out of sight.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ellen, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. You learn something new every day.
I know. And, well, now starting in March, so we won't have all those single-use plastic bags around.
Right,
so
you are.
It won't be as big of a problem.
Mark and Colony. Mark, you're on.
Dr. O'Loughlin and Ray, good afternoon. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Sure.
So I have got an almost two-year-old coconut retriever from St. Martin, and she's the cutest, and her name is Rose. But over the past couple months now, when we've got a fairly large backyard,
and side yard. It's fenced in, and we've got woods, some extensive thick woods behind us. So we know that there's deer out there, and there's rabbits and squirrels and a whole bunch of other fun, cute little critters. But over the past 3 or so months now, whenever Rose has got to go outside in the backyard, she kind of lines up by our back door, almost like a thoroughbred in the starting gate. And she's kind of, her body starts to twitch a little bit, and she gets really excited that there's something out there. And I feel like more often than not, there's nothing out there. And if there is, I really can't see it, but it's almost become obsessive with her. So now that the second I open up that door, she flies out there right to the fence line, and she'll start barking, and she'll bark, and she'll run throughout the entire span of the backyard. And it's pretty big. It's large back there. So it almost kind of seems like it's obsessive to me. So I'm just kind of curious as to how I might be able to change that behavior in her.
Well, I guess it could be tough. I honestly lived with a dog like that who's now finally stopping the behavior now that he's almost 13. We have a 3-acre property, and he go bark at the woods across the street.
It sounds like the dog is having fun, though. Why stop it?
Yeah, but it's the incessant barking is a bit much, and you feel bad for the neighbors. So I would try, since she's relatively young, instead of letting her out on her own and let her just race out in the backyard, try taking her out on a leash and just get her used to walking around the corner of the yard. If she starts to show any inclination to bark, give her a quick correction. Say, hey, quiet. Good girl. And then give her a treat and teach her that it's fun and okay to be out in the backyard, but not okay to be just running out and barking at that fence. And it may take a couple of weeks of doing this leash walking thing, and then you can slowly start to give her some freedom. But I would see if you can sort of break the habit and get her into the idea that I'm just going to go out in the yard and wander around and maybe go out and will she retrieve?
She does. She loves to. Yeah.
Yeah. So, maybe go out and distract her that way, throw the ball, just get her away from just staring at the fence and barking.
Oh, how I'm longing for those July nights this time of year. But thank you very much for that advice. I do appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right,
Mark.
Good luck.
Have you ever heard of a coconut retriever?
I have not.
This is amazing.
There are a lot of interesting odd breeds out there.
Do you think it was bred to retrieve coconuts?
I don't know.
That's
I'll have to go look them up.
All right, fair enough. The number's 800-348-2551. We go to Michelle in Herkimer. Michelle.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call. So this is somewhat in line to one of the questions that came up earlier about cats and the behavior. But I have two cats. I had a male 12 to 13-year-old street cat who I adopted from Troy. He's been with me for about 9 months. And then I recently rescued another girl cat. She's 3 and a half. She was from Yonkers, and she was living in the streets for several months with her kittens. So she's with me, and really from day one, I kept them separate in different rooms, and they have 3 litter boxes and 3 different sets of food around and whatever. And now I've had them sort of co-mingling, but really from day one, she's been sort of aggressive. And even now, 5 weeks, 6 weeks later, she still has a bad habit of attacking, Jack, who he's kind of the legacy cat who was already there. So my question is, how do you correct the behavior of a female cat who, she's sort of coming into the home and she's acting very aggressive and really attacking Jack, not all the time, but a lot of the time. It's constant. So how would I break her of that? Use a plant sprayer with water to discourage her from doing that, and she really could care less. So I'm not sure if there's some kind of citrus spray or some kind of I almost feel like it's hard to take a step backward into changing, training them and reintroducing them. At this point, I feel like it's a little past that. So just wondering what you would suggest.
Okay.
And they are both fixed, by the way.
Does she like to play?
Yes. She almost likes to play fetch. She's very, very playful.
So I guess what I would do is try and see if you can get them. How about Jack? Is he still interested in play at all?
Yep.
You could try and get them interacting that way through play. Where you get like 2 people and you're each got a toy or a rope on a one of the fish on a string or one of those feather toys or something, and have play on either side of the room where they're not playing with each other, and then slowly get them closer and then see if you can get them to play together. And
with the same toy.
Right. And just have some more interaction like that where it's positive interaction. Another thought would be I have a bully situation in my house, and I got a product from Jackson Galaxy. He's the cat whisperer on Animal Planet.
Whisperer, yep.
And he has a whole line of oil essence additives that you can either put in water, or you can put them on the cats themselves, or put it in their food. And he has a whole different ones, from bully to the victim to the peacemaker for the whole house and all that. So you might want to look on his website and see if that wouldn't help too.
All right, Michelle, we have to take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's Pets and Vets. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. We will be right back. Fox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551, the number. And Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. Pets and Vets. She was bumped for two times because we had hearing after political hearing. And now we have you back. And we have four, maybe five emails. We'll try to race through these and then get back to the phones. This one's from Doodle Captain. Subject heading, partner with severe allergy to my two dogs. Greetings. I have two dogs, Border Collie and Yorkie. I live with my partner. The dogs stay in one room with a baby gate, which I clean with HEPA vacuum daily. I sleep with my dogs half of every night. I groom with Furminator and use low shed and pet conditioners. I wonder what more I can do to contain dander for my Border Collie and Yorkie. Also do laundry separately. He is doing immunotherapy at Allergist 3 times weekly.
Boy, it sounds like he's doing just about everything he can do.
Yeah.
I know my mother-in-law is really allergic to cats, and we tried to have her over at our house, and we ended up in the emergency room.
Really?
And the doctor said, you can clean your house and clean your house and clean your house, and you're just, if someone's really allergic, you're not going to be able to
do it. And
it
doesn't get better?
Enough. No. So it sounds like he's doing what he can, but I hope the immunotherapy works. My parents, my father and my brother, are both allergic to cats, and they lived with cats all when we were growing up. And
yeah.
They got the allergy shots, which are the immunotherapy.
Does it help?
It helped.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brother lives with two cats now, so.
You know, some of my family are mildly allergic, and my wife really doesn't notice it except when the cat will bump her on the head.
Yeah.
And then she'll break out on the head. Otherwise, she seems to be okay. This one is from Kurt in Stuyvesant. Kurt, subject heading, sleepy. Have had a rescue dog for about 3 years now. Shepherd mix, about 8, from Tennessee. Was given up for chasing farm animals. He has bad anxiety, acts like Velcro, needs constant reassurance. The problem is he likes to sleep around the clock now. Is it Lyme? Sometimes his head feels hot to the touch.
Boy, it could be a number of things. I guess I would say he probably should go see the vet and, you know, potentially get some blood work done, see if he's positive for any of the tick diseases. Could be thyroid disease. There are a lot of different things. So it sounds like he needs a checkup.
All right. Let's see here. This one's from Nancy. I just read that doctor recommended all wet food diet. I just heard the doctor recommend an all-wet food diet for male cats to help prevent bladder issues. We have a 10-year-old, healthy, vibrant, beautiful Maine Coon male cat who has a half cup dry food, half cup wet food daily. Should I start to transition over to more wet than dry food as he ages? His teeth are still white thanks to the dry food, perhaps, but does he love his wet food at night? And that's from Nancy.
So, in general, they are now recommending that it's best for all cats to be on wet food. It's just better all around. Dry food has a lot of carbs. Cats are not really made to eat carbs. And certainly as they age because of potential kidney problems, and cats are not very good at drinking, the canned food is better because of the added moisture. Mm. So, yes, if he, especially if he loves the canned food. And the dry food doesn't do anything for the teeth.
Okay.
If they're going to have bad teeth. They're going to have bad teeth because of genetics, not because of what they're eating.
All right. This one's from Sharla. Male cat spraying is the subject heading. Recently, I had my two male cats neutered. They're about 8 months old. I thought that following the neutering, they would stop spraying. However, that did not happen. Any suggestions for how to discourage this behavior? I'm not sure whether it is one or both who is doing this.
So the problem is that they already started spraying before they were neutered.
Right.
It's somewhat of a built-in behavior for them.
Mm-hmm.
It may also be an odor thing. So I definitely would get the deodorizer I was talking about,
yeah,
or a deodorizer, and really saturate those areas where they've been spraying.
All right.
They're probably just remarking and remarking.
All right. Here's a, well, this is one that you get on a public radio pet show. Ready? Here we go. This one is from Ver the Great. We have a three-month-old tricolor cat who is male presenting, yet is by all regards typical female cat behaving, especially in stark contrast to their same-age littermate brother cat, who exhibits very typical male cat behavior. We were all certain, even the vet, she was female until the day we brought her to get spayed and found out it was a neuter. Can you speak to the notion of transgender cats? We are continuing to call her by the preferred pronouns she, her, and princess. Public radio in a nutshell.
Well, so she probably has an extra sex chromosome.
Okay.
Because...
not uncommon, right?
Well, it is uncommon. It is uncommon.
More common than having extra fingers?
No.
Okay.
Way more common to have extra fingers.
Okay.
So the reason that tricolored cats are female is because the color gene is on the X chromosome. So females have two X's. So they can have two different colors. They can have black and orange. They can have, you know, brown and orange.
Male cats cannot have tricolor.
No, because they only have one X chromosome. So
that's
they
what
can
makes the color in a cat?
Only have one color. It's attached to the X chromosome.
Who knew? Amazing.
So if you have a tricolored male, he probably, if you looked at his DNA, he would be XXY.
Oh, that so is so interesting.
So he's sort of part female, part male.
See,
and sometimes they have external male parts. Sometimes they have internal female parts, but have like testicles where their ovaries should be. They're sort of half and half. But they're sterile. They're not going to be able to make babies. But,
right.
But yeah.
That's, I got to tell you, you learn something new on every program.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. And that's why most male tigers or orange tigers are male, because the female would have to get two orange genes, and it's way easier for it to get orange and black and be a calico. So
I had
see,
no idea the colors corresponded to the sex of the animal. That's, I didn't know that. All right, let's go to Bridget in Clifton Park. Hello, Bridget.
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call. I have a 10-year-old short-haired cat who was diagnosed with diabetes last year, and he's on insulin and well-controlled, but what we've noticed is kind of a behavior change with him is that he's no longer cleaning himself, and he's kind of a feral acting cat, so he's not the kind that you can sit and pat or brush. He tries to bite you every time. So I'm kind of wondering what I should do going forward. Should I bring him into the vet and get him checked up? Should I groom him? Or I'm not really sure where to go from here.
So my guess is it could be a couple of different things for him to not want to clean himself. One is his dental health. If his mouth hurts, it might be painful for him to do the grooming. So getting his teeth checked would be a good idea. Or second, it can be arthritis. They say pretty much any cat 10 years and up is going to have some arthritis. And cleaning, if you ever watch a cat groom themselves, it's like doing yoga. And so to get in all those positions, sometimes it's just, they're like, they just go, they reach over, lick, lick. Oh, good enough. Nope, I'm not doing anymore. So those are the two things that I would have checked.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for the call. And who's next? Oh, it looks like Dina in Monticello. Dina, you're on.
Yay, thank you. I have a 9-year-old, 65-pound lab, mostly lab, but something else is mixed in. He had surgery on his torn ACL, and then he had another surgery on the other ACL, plus a floating patella.
Ouch.
And he also has hip dysplasia.
Oh, boy.
So my question is, I really would like to know about, you know, it's all the rage about CBD oil.
Yeah.
As far as helping with pain.
Yes, it, the word on the street is it does seem to have some effect. The problem is, as far as the government is concerned, it's still illegal for us to prescribe.
But you can buy
CBD.
It.
I know, I know.
It's legal to go in the store and buy it.
How do you know?
Yeah, our hands as veterinarians, unfortunately, are tied right now as far as recommending or offering CBD oil. I tell people, you know, off the cuff, well, if you want to try it, try it. And of course, it's a nutraceutical. It's not a drug, so it's not been tested. It's like buying any one of these vitamins. It depends on who makes it, how good a quality it is,
yeah.
All that. So it's unfortunately a bit of a crapshoot right now. But
yeah, it seems like there's no way of really knowing. And I don't want to. I mean, can they overdose?
You know, I honestly, I'm not 100% sure. My guess is if you give too much, you could make them sick. But, you know.
What is it supposed to do, though? I've always asked this question about CBD. What is it supposed
to do? Well, I think
the
whole idea is they don't understand 100% the anti-inflammatory effects of it.
So it might have it, it might not.
It's supposed to help with seizures. It's supposed to help with anxiety.
Seizures, yeah.
It's supposed to, you know. So I think there's still a lot of unknowns about what it is that actually makes it work.
So maybe worth a shot anyway.
Right.
Okay. All right, Dina.
I wish I could give you more
legally
confident information. But
all right, maybe another year. Jane and Lennox, you're on. Jane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm hoping you can help me with a little quandary I have. I go to work at a place where there's a lovely adult male German Shepherd. He was a rescue, I'm told. And when I first met him, he greeted me as German Shepherds will with, you know, some really, you know, intense barking, and then kind of calmed down. And as I walked in, he nipped at my heels and made contact with me. And that's kind of been an intermittent behavior over time. A lot of times he doesn't do that, but sometimes he does. And recently it's actually the behavior has actually gotten a little bit more intense in that the nips have been getting harder. So I wanted to ask you if you could help me to kind of understand that behavior. Is it a dominance thing? Is it, you know, just kind of manners that he can be trained out of, or you know, his heritage as a shepherd? I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems more of a training issue. If he could be trained when people come in that he needs to lay down and, you know, or have a bed to go to, or learn to greet people by walking up to them and sitting or something rather than doing this, you know, nipping at your heels thing, it probably is somewhat herding behavior. But it's,
is that common with shepherds?
Well, I mean, they are a herding dog. That's their job. But he needs to be taught that's not appropriate, you know. So it's really up to whoever his owner is to take control of the situation. I would start at least with, you know, keeping him on a leash, and, you know, if he's treat responsive, you know, teach him that when people come in, he needs to sit and he'll get a treat, and, you know, maybe teach you to come over and give him a treat so that it's a positive experience that you're coming in.
I'm treat responsive.
But yeah,
you can bring someone.
But he needs to learn this is inappropriate behavior, because otherwise it could just continue to escalate.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about, and I'm wondering, is there anything that I can do to help him to understand that that's not an okay thing, or is it mainly his owner's job?
Yeah, it should be his owner's job, honestly. But, I mean, you have to be a little careful because some of these dogs, if you reprimand them, you know, it could escalate his situation. You know, if you can work with the owner to to come up with a command situation where you come in and if he's going to, you know, come at you or go to nip at your heels, say, ha, sit.
Yeah.
All right, good boy. And then he gets a treat for doing an appropriate behavior.
All right, Jane.
Hey, thanks. We'll try it.
Good All luck. Right. We appreciate the call. Rick in Hudson. Rick.
Oh, good afternoon. We have two adult cats, and we have a catorium, so when they go out, they're confined to the yard. And last fall, both cats were kind of transfixed on looking at something under the porch, and there was a calico cat. We took her in, took her to the vet, had her checked out and everything, and had the usual fleas and everything. Vet thinks the cat is around 2 years old. Also informed us that the cat is not spayed. I could tell by the spayed stitches on the abdomen. Is that right?
Well, I guess they did not see a scar, would be my guess.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So here we are. She's in heat.
Ah, oh. Yes, tis the season. And I spayed my first cat in heat yesterday, so.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes. Well, the first of the year.
Luckily, our other two cats are fixed. Our neighbor said, oh, she's a beautiful cat. Calicos are very rare. You should breed her. We've never done this. We're in our 70s. We've had cats all our lives. We've always adopted adult cats. We've never had young cats. Your thoughts on this? Should a female cat have one litter and then get her spayed? Or so I'm just open to suggestions.
Yeah, no, calicos are not rare. There are millions of calicos out there, so I wouldn't call a calico rare at all. And, you know, my feeling is there are so many cats out there looking for homes. We really don't need to be making more domestic short hairs. So I would get her spayed. It's better for her. The sooner she gets spayed, the less likely she is to get breast cancer and things like that. And besides, having a cat going in and out of heat every few days for the next several months.
Good times.
They're really fun to live with. So.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Rick. And let's go quickly. We only have about 45 seconds. John in Westfield, you're on.
Yeah. Hey, just a quick question. I have two ragdoll cats, one of which is long hair, which I groom. The trouble is he gets a lot of hairballs. I use hairball formula food, but when he coughs it up, he's not very productive coughing it up, so it's agonizing listening to him trying. I was wondering, is there any product that would help him facilitate the whole process?
Don't say CBD oil.
No. So hairballs, certainly in long-haired cats, can be more of an issue. Sometimes, though, it is a sign that they have a little bit of an irritated stomach.
Yeah.
So I find sometimes putting them on a probiotic helps.
Oh.
And if that doesn't work, they make hairball laxatives that'll help the hair slide through instead of coming back up.
Okay. Well, that's where we will have to leave it. I appreciate the call. And Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, thank you for coming back. Have fun at the shop.
Here.
We'll see you soon. Support comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Hudson Beach Glass, a gallery for contemporary functional and sculptural glass and artisan jewelry, plus by appointment opportunities for hands-on glass blowing experiences. HudsonBeachGlass.com for details. And the Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, presenting a hot chocolate festival with indoor and outdoor activities and several flavors of hot chocolate. Sunday, February 16th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., AshokanCenter.org. Thanks again to Carrie O'Loughlin for being here, and thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Great ones today. Sorry if we did not get to your call. She'll be back. We have Pets and Vets almost every month, and we'll get more of your calls next time. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, Ed Rosen for answering the phones, our producers, Jim Lavoulis and Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff, Gordon Fricke, and Cars Tomorrow. Stand by for 51%.